CliffCentral.com.
Okay. Hooray, hooray, hooray. It's Wednesday already. And here she is. You missed out on her on Monday. She made it to Wednesday. Leanne Moll, everybody. So for those people,
how is Leanne?
Because you know what people are like. If they don't get exactly what they want.
Where's Leanne? She's not here. Well, I'm not staying then for Monday's show.
Everything's fine. I'm fine. Yes. We're here. Four.
Yes, yes, absolutely. How are you, ass?
Oh, good. I had one of those horrible mornings where you hit snooze and then you think, I'm sure I hit snooze, but I probably didn't. Yeah. And you look and it's already 15 minutes ahead.
Oh, gee. Yeah.
You miss out completely. Those minutes are gone from your life. You didn't experience them sleeping.
No. You feel like you were cheated.
Completely, you go, Bob.
I not only didn't wake up as early as I wanted to, because I, you know, you set your alarm with purpose. You don't just set it, somewhere within that 30-minute gap. No, you set it to be up at a specific time. And then when you sleep, because you snooze, you're like, oh, I can maybe get an extra 10 minutes. And then when you wake up eventually and you realize you didn't even get that 10 minutes, you're like, where did that go? You've stolen it.
There's a difference. You can, there's a kind of sleep where you know you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. And then there's the kind of sleep that you just miss out on. And it's, you need to have that sleep where you know you're sleeping. I'm sure someone that is an expert could explain.
No, it's like it goes into the memory hole. Steve says, morning, grumpy as fuck, no water again. When are we going to hang these fucking twat? I think he means twats.
I'm sorry.
I have to say, like, you know, some people have just got to admit government is not their thing. And the ANC is one of those groups of people. The ANC has to sit down at their next NEC meeting or whatever fucking meeting they have. Get together, sit down, look across the room at each other and just admit, like, guys, this government thing is not for us. We're not capable. We should be doing much more menial jobs, all of us. We're not able to run a country. We're just, it's out of our line. It's out of our area of expertise. Sorry, this is not for us. The ANC might be able to run probably not a lot, but I would, let's be generous. Let's say that they could run a small local
tuck shop.
Maybe a tuck shop at a school. Yeah. And then they can sit there and, you know, if the tuck shop makes a profit or it doesn't really matter, because they don't affect that many people's lives. But I think they'd even fuck up a tuck shop, I have to tell you.
Yeah, it would become a fuck shop.
Yeah. Steve, I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm on your side, dude. No water now. Now electricity is the one thing. Now they're fucking up the water thing. They just can't do. Listen, I've said this a million times. What do you need a government for? List the things you need them for. There are only a few things.
Did you see that video of the new Joburg mayor?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you remember what we had, right? She was pretty amazing, I think. And
we interviewed her twice on the Burning Platform, and she was really good. And Paul Palazzi.
And now the screen opens, and you've got a guy sitting there with a T-shirt on, had some wording on it. I just can't remember what it was.
Clean up some.
Yes. And he's sitting with his arms folded.
Yeah.
And the interviewer says, what is your first, your number one priority? What are you going to tackle first?
Mm.
And he sits there and he says, potholes.
Jesus.
I'm like, there are people without water and electricity.
Well,
potholes.
He's apparently such a political opportunist. So he was in the EFF. Then he joined the ANC. Now he's with this Al-Juma or whatever the hell the party's called. It's like this tiny party with three people in it. And they've got like a couple of Muslim voters and that's it. And somehow he's worked his way into the mayoral position because Herman Mashaba's got this pathological hatred for the DA. So he just turned his entire party against Popalatse. The ANC are obviously, they'll back anyone but the DA because the DA makes them look shit. And the EFF, they don't care about good governance either. You know, you think the ANC can't run anything? The EFF, I think they run one municipality somewhere. It's not working. You know, there's that Umgeni mayor in Howick, I think it is, or yeah, somewhere in you know, Midlands of KZN. He's a white dude who speaks Zulu. And he's already got that municipality out of debt. They're apparently fixing all the water and infrastructure. And all these other parties just cannot get it right. They make everybody really, really cross. Anyway, I didn't want to start the morning with this shit, but thanks, Sean. Now look what you've got us onto. Anyway, Sean with his one comment.
Damn it, Sean.
Yeah. All right. So January's done. Sorry, it was Steve, not Sean. Yeah. There I am blaming Sean again.
Poor Sean.
I know. I don't want to sit here and complain all day. We're back to level 6 of load shedding. You know, now Cyril wants to declare a state of emergency. And I'm like, no, motherfucker. The state of emergency has pretty much been in place since the ANC took over. I will give credit where credit is due. Under Thabo Mbeki, things worked. So it's not the ANC of the past. It's the current ANC. There are no smart people left in that party. Really? Sean says, the new Joburg mayor is a joke. He is exactly what the ANC represents, mediocrity at best. And he's not even in the ANC, but he was once. So that tells you all you need to know. I love how they want to institute a national state of emergency, says Wendy, to deal with Eskom and load shedding when they're the ones responsible for creating the crisis. Exactly. I mean, it's unbelievable. The new mayor, his only qualification is a degree in Islamic studies. We should all be very worried. We went from our very best to this clown. Yeah. Again, there comes a point where you've just got to say, listen, I can't do this. Like if you made me the chief engineer building bridges across ravines, it would take me all of a minute and a half to say to you, hey, listen, there's been a terrible mistake. I'm not the guy, you know? Leanne, you're on mute.
Sorry, my mic unplugged. The scary thing is that your interests lie in architecture and, you know, you dabble in programs that can...
But I'm not an engineer.
But you'd probably be better than someone who would currently be employed in that position.
It's just, and this all, you know what, it all comes from a bad place because it comes from somewhere and they won't acknowledge this. It's like the ANC's really, really bad ideas and bad policies come from the outdated, many times provenly stupid ideology of Marxism. Where anybody, all people are equal. Anybody can do anything. You just give them the job and they'll find a way to do it. You don't need competence. Merit doesn't matter. Qualifications aren't important. It comes from a very bad philosophy that has just plunged country after country into disaster. So you want to know what the state of disaster is? It's this ideology that lives rent-free in their stupid heads. And ironically turns them into rent seekers. But anyway, I mean, I do want to move on because there's way more interesting stuff to talk about and we can't carry on.
It's like setting a fire and then calling the fire brigade.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Okay. So, I mean, there are lots of problems that we've got to take responsibility for. And they say you get the government you deserve. But I think in this case, nobody, not even the dumbest South African deserves these dumb politicians. It's like somehow the pyramid was turned upside down and the very, very worst and least meritorious people ended up at the top of it. Okay. We got things to do, people to see, places to go. I see Mash is up early this morning saying, good morning. I also know that Ryan is in the new studio in Sandhurst, where he's busy putting the show together. So we are sorting out day by day. We're getting closer and closer to doing our shows from there again. And I'll probably be able to do the first one either at the end of this week or early next week. And then you can see the new studio. Yeah. We're just going to put in some soundproofing and, you know, there are a couple of things we still have to do there, but it's coming along nicely. So
very
can't wait.
Cool.
Yes. Absolutely. So As, I thought this would be quite fun. Apparently now when you know, when any website asks you to pay for something, this is what comes up. This will come up on your screen just to show you. choose your payment method. You have Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Ass.
It's like paying out of your bum, right?
Right. You pay with your ass. So, I mean, this is quite, I think it's a good thing to know if you're looking
the
for
funny
new
thing is, my eyes went straight to the logos I know. Mm-hmm. And it was only the second time you put it up that I noticed that there was a bare ass on the screen.
Absolutely. All right. A couple of things. Absolutely. What we wouldn't do for him. At least we had less load shedding under Jacob Zuma. I mean, that tells you something about how bad Cyril is at his job, right? He's somehow worse than Jacob Zuma.
Oh, dear.
A few things to talk about today. So apparently two monkeys have gone missing from the zoo in Dallas. Did you hear about the story?
But Emperor Tamarin. The zoo is like cursed, right? Because a whole lot goes on there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you heard about this story, but it was all over CNN. You know, CNN bringing you the most important stories. here we are repeating it. So we're no better. But these two monkeys went missing. They reckon people have taken them for pets. Now, if you're going to take an exotic monkey as a pet in a place like Dallas, where these monkeys are not from, you will stick out like a sore thumb. People are going to hear the monkeys. They're going to see the monkeys. I mean, unless you're going to keep them, you know, locked up forever and no one's ever going to see
them. They're going to hear the monkeys. They're going to see the monkeys.
She's covering her ears and eyes and nose. Ears, eyes, and mouth. The way those little statues are, in case you were listening to the podcast and you don't know why we're laughing. I don't want any exotic pets. Haven't we learned just since last week's tiger escapades? And even this week, there was apparently some other tiger on the loose. Can we not keep exotic animals? I don't think, especially in urban areas. I mean, if you live in some strange, far-flung part of the country and you've got a sanctuary for a particular kind of wild animal and, you know, you look after them and you protect them and you're conserving them and you're helping them to, I don't know, increase their numbers or whatever it might be. That's one thing worth discussing. But my goodness, is it necessary for us to keep all these bizarre and varied animals? The animals don't like it, clearly. Am I being unfair, Leanne? Is there anything I'm leaving out of this?
There's something very important you're leaving out, and it's bizarre.
Yeah.
This zoo is like, it's like cursed. They've actually released a timeline of these bizarre animal incidents that have happened at the zoo. So on January the 13th, so half a month ago, a clouded leopard disappeared from her enclosure at this zoo.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh. Yeah. She was eventually, after a day-long search, she was found luckily on the zoo grounds. But there was a tear in her habitat that was labeled as suspicious as investigators made their way around her enclosure. Then the very next day, they said that there was a similar tear at another habitat for the Langur monkeys. Mm-hmm. And they said that it was maybe criminal mischief offense. On the 22nd of January, an endangered vulture named Pin died at the zoo in what officials described as unusual circumstances. The animal care team was heartbroken. The circumstances were unusual, not natural causes. They increased security, overnight security and put in more cameras. And then this, the latest on the 30th, were the two emperor tamarin monkeys that were, you know, taken. So something's up there, man. They've got like camera footage of a guy. He's got his hand in a packet of Doritos. They're looking for the public's help in identifying this individual.
Dorito man.
Yeah, Dorito man. He's got a hood on and yeah. So there's something crazy there, man. Something's going on.
Look, there are places in South Africa. Do you remember we went to Monkey Land? You and Mabale and Tabo and Damon and CS and I, we went to this Monkey Land place where they help rehabilitate chimps and baboons and all kinds of other primates that have been rescued from zoos or, you know, from abusive households or wherever they've been. And they do wonderful work. And there are people who do run these exotic animal shelters. And you know, even in Johannesburg, there's places like Free Me. I know you've worked with over the years, where they've got professional people who know what they're doing, but their intent is not to keep these animals as pets.
Mm,
and
exactly.
There's a huge difference. Like, I love animals. I know you do. You wouldn't want to keep a tiger, though.
No. I remember going to Harapuspiet Zoo once.
Sorry, what?
Harapuspiet. Yes, but dam is a lucky dam. That's fishing and alles in die vlie. Going to that zoo, and they had far too many tigers in one enclosure. One tiger in an enclosure is already too many. You can't get over that, can you?
No, I'm still laughing about you calling it Harapuspiet and then singing a song about the Harapuspiet dam is a lucky dam.
That's fishing in alles in die vlie. I just unless an animal is being monitored for research or for breeding purposes, there's no reason to keep an animal in an enclosure. Damn it.
Yeah. Arbot says, do the right thing. Smash the like button, subscribe, stay home and turn on notifications. Very, very nice. Do all of that, please. I've noticed that traffic is back to kind of pre-COVID levels because I was on the highway yesterday. It took me an extra long time to get to the office and I wasn't even in peak time traffic. So I think for a lot of people, it's all getting back to normal, which is terrific because it's taken us a long time, right? I mean, since March 2020 now, it's almost 3 years and it's time. It's beyond time. So, a few things, because there's actually a lot I want to get through before 7 o'clock. We've got a fantastic discussion with a guy who I love talking to, Fred Rode. It's actually Fred's birthday today, I saw on my calendar, and I interviewed him last week, and we recorded it, and we've got it here for you. Fred, of course, the founder of Heavy Chef, and someone we've had on the show many times. Dari actually went to a Heavy Chef event last night in Johannesburg, where Fred was, and he's just one of those people who, when you talk to him, you always feel like you are, you know, you're on the right trajectory. He puts your head in the right place. You feel like things are positive and optimistic, and he's got lots of good ideas, and he's just a boundless, positive guy. He's fun to talk to apart from that, and he knows what's going on. So I like to speak to Fred, and we caught up with him. It's kind of a nice way to start the new year. And I know we're already into February. It's the first week, first day really of the new month. Mm. So a lot of people going, whew, January's over, because January's tough for everyone. Mm. Everyone seems to think that January has 410 days and, you know, the rest of the year. At least, so the shortest month is here. And you can breathe a sigh of relief on that front. Let's just look at a few things, Leanne. I've got some voice notes here, which I think you might be interested in. The first one is from, who's this here? We've got, hang on a second. Let me just make sure I get this right. Motselisi. Sorry. But we played a game on Friday called How Fucked Are We? In the game, I put up I put up some pictures and I put up a couple of videos of some crazy people. I've actually got a few to add to that game this week. But I spoke about Doja Cat, who was at a fashion show. Yes. She was covered in red and she had like red paint and it almost looked like she was wearing like a spiky red outfit all over her body. And this is from Motselesi, who says some things about Doja Cat, which maybe we know, maybe we don't. I certainly knew she's got a South African connection, but here it is.
Morning, guys. I listened to this morning
show. That's not her. Hang on a second.
So Friday's podcast, you were talking about Doja Cat because of the way she was dressed. In a section you called How Fucked Are We? I don't know why Simpiwe didn't mention this. She's probably too young. She doesn't know. Doja Cat, you can claim Doja Cat, she is the daughter of a South African actor from Sarafina. Mm-hmm. I believe he played the role of Crocodile. So you can totally own her, even though she does not identify South African. As we've seen, she identifies as Lucifer. But she is South African.
So she identifies as Lucifer, which I thought was hilarious. And if you've seen those pictures of her, she really does look horrendous.
And like red, spiky, glittery stuff.
There's some people who just are desperate for attention and they'll do any. Did you see Sam Smith's new music video that everyone's talking
about? I haven't seen it, but yeah. Oh,
my God. It is. I mean, listen. So in it, he's dressed as he first said he was gay. And that's fine. It's not such a big deal anymore. I don't know if anyone even takes any notice. If you're gay or straight in 2023, does anyone care? But that wasn't enough. So then he had to identify as, I think he said he was neither male nor female, gender non-binary.
Non-binary, yeah.
Now, now he's made this music video called We Are Not Friends. So I'm Not Here to Make Friends is what it's called. And it's awful. I mean, I normally wouldn't even take notice of this. And frankly, it's not that bizarre. It's him in he's a fat guy. He's wearing like this crown of diamonds. He's being peed upon in the video.
Oh, goodness.
He's trying his best, but honestly, I just think it's desperation. He's wearing like a corset, but with his titties out, and he just looks stupid. I'll show you a picture of it. And I feel sorry for him because obviously the stakes are so high in pop music at the moment that you have to be utterly outrageously ridiculous. And even then, there's no guarantee that you will get attention, right?
Well, a corset can do that. It can really raise the stakes.
Well, I mean, I'll show you what he looks like and you tell me if you think this is interesting or not, because I don't think it does raise the stakes. I think this is more of the same and I feel bad for him because I think you can push it so far and he's going for the obvious thing that everyone in music has always gone for, which is the sexual angle on things and, you know, the kinky stuff and like, I don't think people care. Here he is. This is a picture of Sam Smith.
Yeah, those stakes are raised.
He's in his outfit here with his, he's got this diamond crown. He's got women in the background who are dressed with it. Also, there's a man and a woman and they're both wearing these like lingerie type things. And he just looks like terrible.
Nipple coverings.
Yeah. And he's just fat and unattractive. And like if someone walked into a room dressed like that, the last thing you'd do is go up to them and say, oh, that's amazing. You know, you'd avoid them at all.
Look, I see your point, but he's got the right to just be who he wants to, right?
But he's not. He's not doing that for that reason. He's doing it because he's desperate to sell some songs, and he's really quite ordinary. His songs aren't that great. He's a very middle of the road guy, and he's desperate to stick out. He's desperate to like, please notice me. Please, please, please. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's his managers, his publicists.
No, I think I think he's just being him. I think he felt oppressed for a long time. And now he's just being him. I don't know. I saw an interview with him and he just feels like he's freer. It feels like his managers were, it was the opposite. His managers were telling him what to do before and kind of bringing him down and tethering him.
Well, maybe if he made some really great music, then I would change my opinion. But
that's what it's supposed to be about, right?
Yeah. Make a good song, dude, and then you won't have to do any of this because people will love you anyway. And we won't care what you do. It's not a weird thing. I mean, David Bowie was cross-dressing back in the 70s.
Prince, for crying out loud.
Prince. Boy George. I mean, this is not new. It's the same old tired routine that we've been exposed to a billion times. And don't give me your
If you were a rock star in the 70s and 80s, if you weren't wearing makeup, it was weird.
Yeah.
You know, look at Kiss. You know,
right.
It was all about the drama and the makeup and cross-dressing and wearing the glitter and the skin-tight clothing.
I don't know if it's just me. I mean, I posted this thing on Instagram yesterday, and you know what? Everybody has a tendency to think that their generation got it right. I posted this beautiful clip of Billy Joel singing Piano Man a cappella. It's just him on a microphone at a live venue, so it's not even in a studio. And this beautiful voice of his, especially when he was younger, it just breaks through all the noise. You hear him singing these beautiful lyrics, by the way, just magnificent poetic lyrics. And he sings it with clarity, and it's musical, and it's magnificent, and it rings true. It strikes a chord in your heart. You're like, this is beautiful music. And you compare that to like Sam Smith music video or one of the little rappers, you know, the little rappers. And you're like, that's not music that's comparable to maybe I'm just an old fashioned.
It's become all about the performance now and not the music.
This is a new statue they put up in New York at, I think, the courthouse in New York. So the new statue is that gold colored thing. It looks like here's another version of it from below. It's like a woman with horns and tentacles for arms.
Yeah.
And she's coming out of a flower of something. I looked at this and I thought, this looks like almost like a toy figurine where, you know, my sister used to have Barbies and we would pull off the arms and, you know, and then we'd put like the head of one of our Masters of the Universe dolls on the top of the Barbie. And it looks like that. It's a piece of shit, basically. This is what they've put up in New York. Next to it is a statue of one of the great lawgivers of, you know, times gone by. And it's sculpted by someone who is a classical artist. You know, like you could see the robes flow beautifully. Yeah. It's carved out of marble. It's magnificent. And then you've got this abomination next to it, this piece of shit, which looks like it's made out of
it looks and, like a goat head.
It's so bad. And she is meant to represent, I don't know, like women and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the feminists.
Well, I don't know if Ruth would have liked that.
I don't think anyone walks past this and goes, oh, that's beautiful. You know, and to go back to the example, it's like, what happened? I know I sound like an old fart on this, and I don't care. I really don't care. You could call me all kinds of names. It's not going to improve your case. That statue of that thing with the horns and the tentacles and the music that people are trying to proffer me that is somehow meant to compete with the clip I posted on Instagram yesterday. You're dead in the water. Like modern art, modern sculpture, modern music is fucking awful. It's toilet. It cannot compete. It cannot compare. And I'm here. This is my time as well. You know, I'm looking at this. Don't tell me that any of these statues that they're putting up now, these modern art, disgraceful, hideous warts and carbuncles that they're putting onto the landscape, these distorted and twisted metal and chrome and glass and plastic pieces of shit that they're littering our landscape with and telling us are public art. Don't tell me that that compares with one, even the worst statue that a Renaissance artist made on their worst day. I mean, the most stupid and dreadful statue that was made in the 1500s is 10,000 times better than anything they're making right now.
Small willies and all.
Really? At least they looked like people. It took a skill to do it. They had to understand ancient Greek and ancient Roman sculpture. They had to go and study these things. They had to look at how hard it is to make the veins on someone's arms stick out in a piece of marble. You know, Michelangelo used to say, apparently apocryphally, but he was asked once, how do you do this? How do you sculpt humans so magnificently out of marble? And he said, the statue was always in the marble. I'm just there to free it. Mm. And you compare, you compare that, that kind of, that magnificence. And, you know, before him even, statues that we're digging up in parts of Europe that, that have been hidden for thousands of years and they've been dredged out of the sea, for example. And they're made. Some of these are 2,500 years old and they are better. They look better than any modern artist's work today. Any. And I'm sorry, if you're a modern artist and you're getting upset and offended by this, good. Do better. You should be making things. There are talented artists around these days. They're just making hideous shit. And it all looks the same. And it's all this androgynous, ugly, looks like a Mattel toy. You know, all this crap that they... You go to a modern park anywhere in the world, and I blame the West as much as I blame anyone else for this. You go to a modern park somewhere in the US or Canada or Europe, and you see these shapeless, formless, boring things. There isn't a single statue that they would have made that would have stayed up in the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s, going all the way back, if it looked anything like that. These statues will be pulled down very, very soon because people will look at them and go, but it looks like a dog's bowl. Why would I want that in a public park? Aren't you meant to go to a public park and marvel at the greatest works of art in your society? You're meant to look at it and go, this is a representation of the kind of society we're a part of. It's beautifully made. It's taken someone 8 years of chipping away at stone to do this. Not go, I mean, they put up a statue of Martin Luther King in Boston this weekend, but it's two arms that are like entangled like this, two disembodied arms. It looks...
Maybe those arms were meant for the other statue.
I don't know. It's just...
Gareth, you sound like you're living in a world of pain. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it does pain me because art is meant to be magnificent and beautiful and enlightening it's meant to show the best of society. Where are all the artists? Are they dead? Please someone tell me. Someone help me. Why can no one write a beautiful melody anymore? Why can no one make a beautiful sculpture? Why can no one paint a truly magnificent painting anymore? Why do we have this shit, and then we're being told that this shit is amazing. We're being told Damien Hirst is just phenomenal when he cuts the arm of a cadaver and puts it in some formalin in a tank and it goes in front of him. We're told this is wonderful. I don't agree. I don't get it. I really don't. Someone explain this to me. Someone tell me how I am objectively meant to compare the work of Bernini when he made the baldacchino in St. Peter's Cathedral, or his statue of Louis XIV, which is in Versailles, or, you know, one of these just beautiful sculptures. There's one of Charlemagne that's in the entrance to the cathedral in Rome.
Charlemagne, yeah.
Charlemagne, but he's on a horse and his robes are flowing and he's looking up to the sky and the horse is in perfect proportion and he's in perfect proportion and you can see the You could see the pores in his skin on this statue. It's done to such a level of detail and perfection. And you compare it to that shit that I just showed you from the New York County Courthouse. I mean, you just want to throw up when you see this thing.
Yeah, you see, I blame people who aren't artists, who place value on art when they see it and it needs to be interpreted. The more it needs to be interpreted, the higher the value is perceived to be. You know, when it's not just what it is for what it is, when it's something like, oh, but you see the reason why the arms are like tentacles is because of this and this. Instead of just doing something beautifully and simply.
It's just ugly. You don't need to interpret all of this. Don't tell me about the symbolism of something. If it looks like shit, it's shit. There's nothing else to discuss. I wouldn't put a representation of that in my guest toilet.
No, if I found that lying in my house somewhere, I'd put it in the bin.
Correct. And I think most people, if they're honest with themselves, would do the same. So you're right. There are these people who pretend like this stuff is wonderful, and they're the ones who drive up the value of it, right? Mm. And they should stop lying. They should just stop lying. Anyway, I mean, let's move on. I just had to get this off my chest because with the Sam Smith music video and, you know, and then that a cappella version of Billy Joel I heard yesterday and then the statue in New York and comparing it to what I would fly to Europe to see. I would fly to Europe. I would pay all that money to walk around and look at the statuary that was conceived of 2,500 years ago, and I would stand in awe of it. Mm. If I walked past the statue I just showed you in New York, I would feel my bowels soften, and I would want to go to the nearest lavatory to relieve myself because it's so off-putting and disgusting. Enough. All right.
Okay.
Got to move
right.
on.
Right.
So here's something fun I saw yesterday on the internet that I thought you might approve of. And we've been talking a lot about jobs. So if you can't describe your job in three words, it's a bullshit job, right? And we've had this conversation before. So here's one guy in this cartoon. He says, I'm a SaaS-based fintech sales analyst. Bullshit job.
Okay. Even though I know what that is.
He says, I develop and maintain automated capabilities.
Oh, dear.
Bullshit job. Another guy goes, I create systems to record blockchain data.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit job. And the last guy goes, I catch fish. Yeah. That's a real job.
So what would you describe your job as then in three words?
I do a show.
Speak to people.
I make entertaining content.
Yes, hopefully. that's what it's about.
Yeah, so that's what we do. But
I make content.
Yeah, I make content. There we go. And that's a broad category. So we could specify. I record radio content. I record audio content. Something that is more than three, and especially if your job title is more than three words, you know, vice president of product development in the
Asymmetric solutions networking facilitation.
In the research department of X and Y company. Now, it's just bullshit. Sorry. It's just bullshit. So no, you've got to simplify things. People have got to be able to tell straight away, oh, that's what you do. Because who's going to ask more questions? If someone says to you that they record blockchain data in a decentralized ledger and then compare the statistical evidence, by then everyone's fallen asleep. No one cares anymore. Am I right?
Well, this is a bit controversial. If you look at Nikita's comment, I'm a corporate governance mm-hmm. gatekeeper. Those are three words, but yet you still have to. It's certainly not I catch fish.
No, but what you. So Nikita, you just need to explain better what your job is, because we know what it is. Corporate governance gatekeeper, you are basically there to stop thieves.
I stop thieves.
I stop thieves. So if you said thief stopper, I'd go like, fucking good job there. That's not a bullshit job, but it's the way you phrase it. So corporate governance is a euphemism for trying to stop fraud and corruption in companies, right?
I don't know. Area. I actually don't know.
It is. And it's making sure that companies adhere to codes of ethics and labor law and, you know, all of that stuff. It's kind of complying with the law, making sure that your company does the right thing. So I make sure my company does the right thing. Done. And I mean, that's more than three words, but it's.
I think I'm gonna be a traffic cop.
Yeah, you're a corporate police officer. That's what you are.
A building corporate traffic cop.
So, not a building, because she's not in charge of that. But I corruption watching duties, watchdog. There we go. Watchdog. That's what you are. You're a watchdog, corporate watchdog. I like that. See, Dr. Robin, she's a gynecologist. She says, I fix vagina. Slippery Pickle says, I'm in commerce. You see, it's a bit vague, Slippery Pickle. You need to be more specific. What do you do in commerce? Do you manage other people's money? Do you deal with banks and help banks and insurance companies deal with each other? You know, you should be able to explain this stuff. Kevin says, don't even get me started on the technology soft skill jobs. Agile coach. Only two words, but a total bullshit job. Oh, yes, that's a bullshit job. Totally. Sven says, I'm a carpenter. One word. Oh, no, that is, in my book, the best people. One word.
Like Jesus.
Yeah. Sanele says, Nikita is a government. Stop nonsense. There you go. Absolutely. Spot on. Steve says draftsman.
Yeah.
Andy says a library financial administrator. I buy books.
Oh, there we go. Nice.
I buy books. Beautiful. Carl says, I can't do it in three words. I need four. I fuck for money. I'm a whore. Okay, great. That's good. I've been referred to as a visual storyteller, says Tracy. We have a word. Photographer. We have that word. Don't change it. We know you're a photographer. Melissa Peterson, I fix cancer. Beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Khalid says, digital health project manager.
Can still be simplified.
We need to have that you must work harder on. Nico says, I'm a farmer. Beautiful. That is. We know what that is. Okay, so yeah, see if you could describe yourself in as few words as possible, right? Someone says here, Sven says, my job is a bullshit job. Okay, fine.
Yeah, look, I think if you can't get around it, then just admit it.
Yeah, I mean, how would you describe yourself, Leanne?
I would say storyteller.
Okay. That's
because
nice.
Because I do that in a personal capacity, in a fun job capacity, and in a serious job capacity. Is telling stories.
David says, I love this. I was at the Tate in Liverpool. I think you spell it T-A-T-E, but it's okay. I've never seen four floors of shit. One art piece was a giant canvas with two green vertical lines and had a two-page explanation of the symbolism. Yeah, David, you know, these
four
museums.
Four floors of shit.
I have to say, and you know, I've got some friends who are in the art world, and some of them are fairly important people in the art world, and they know a lot more than I do, supposedly. But I don't believe that art galleries have ever been as unpopular as they are now. They are so extremely removed from the ordinary people of the world. They are They are now repositories of elite bullshit. And that's not what galleries should be. People used to go to art galleries to see the greatest contributions of humankind, the most perfect artifacts of the most skilled artists. Now, these art galleries are filled with just pandering bullshit. Absolute nonsense. Yeah. It's like, we've got to have this because we got to cater to that. And those people, by the way, from those communities that they're supposedly catering to never come because it's horrible art. Who would want to be represented by that shit?
And I mean, we're not saying it needs to be completely bland and uninterpretable. There doesn't have to be an underlying meaning, but a man off the street must be able to come in and look at it and go, wow, that's amazing. I can see that that would have taken a lot of time to do those brushstrokes, you know, not looking at a red dot on a wall and saying, well, I don't see what's interesting about it. And then someone comes with this big bullshit tale.
Yeah. And it must be difficult to reproduce. I think that's hugely important in art.
Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be the sort of thing that anyone else could just do themselves.
Yeah.
That would make it, to me, that's important. I think that's massively important. All right. So, we've got a couple of descriptions of jobs here, which I like. People are justifying themselves by saying they don't have bullshit jobs. Unkopotse says he's a computer whisperer. That's cool. And by the way, this doesn't mean you don't have to be creative, right? I mean, you can be creative and interesting about your job description. You just mustn't be confusing about it. Hadmin says, I'm a dog and cat surgeon. Like that. The best artwork, says Sinonificent, you can find is when you see a 2 to 5 year old painting. I disagree. I respect tilers and anyone who uses their hands to create or fix things. Again, carpenters, sculptors, people who build, you know, to build. And we've got a lot of talented builders in South Africa. Putting the bricks on top of each other in the right way so you make a straight wall is a very difficult skill. And if you don't do it right, walls collapse and people's houses fall on them. So it is important that people know what they're doing.
It's pretty important.
Nemisa says, I've just been to the Uffizi in Florence, which is just a magnificent gallery and art museum. So again, you know, compare anything you see in the Uffizi to all the shit you would see at the Tate in Liverpool. You know, it's just
there's a series on Netflix at the moment called From Scratch, and it's based mainly in the beginning parts, certainly in Florence. And it's about an American girl who's given up law school to go and study art and sculpture in Florence. Yeah. And there you see there's nothing that needs to be interpreted there. It's just pure beauty in front of you.
And honestly, if the Tate Modern burnt down in London tomorrow and everything in it was destroyed, I would not shed a single tear because all of that stuff you could fairly easily reproduce. I don't think any, you know, there was that guy who had that toilet. You remember there was that toilet exhibition where there was a golden toilet? And I think to myself, well, easy. Toilet, builder's warehouse, spray can with gold paint. Your mum's, you know, you're out. You're out of the starting blocks. Yeah. You're already there. It's not brilliant. Yeah. All right. Quick thing. We've got to look at it. One or two headlines before we wrap up this hour. And we only got 5 minutes here. So let me get into this quickly. So this is, they always do this to us. Jane and I were driving to our new premises the other day. And Jane was saying to me, and you know, I mean, Jane is to me a really good example of someone who you mustn't underestimate. You underestimate her at your peril. So she knows how basic economics works. She said to me, why is it that when the petrol price goes up, they charge us more to get a taxi? But when the petrol price comes down, they don't ever bring down their taxi fare.
Yeah.
And you know, again, obvious, good question. She makes a valid point, and it shows you how the system is rigged against people. But consumers will have to contend with higher fuel prices in the month of February as the fuel price adjustment is going to take effect on Tuesday. So yesterday evening it started. According to the Central Energy Fund, both grades of petrol cost 28 cents per liter more. The price of low sulfur diesel will decrease by 84 cents a liter. However, regular diesel will increase by 9 cents. All petrol users got a reprieve last month. They'll be paying 28 cents more per liter from midnight, though. So again, you know, swings and roundabouts, but we mostly get screwed. So that's important that you know that. I'm just here to tell you how much you're going to get screwed. Hi.
Swings and roundabouts. It's more like a downward slide.
Right. And then this is a very disturbing story. You know, Leanne, you and I don't have kids, and I sometimes I'm very grateful that I don't have kids because it's damn hard to be a parent these days.
I'm all the times grateful.
But this is a scary story from the BBC, and they say children are being exposed to online pornography from as young as age 9. And that's according
to... I'm not surprised by that. Are you?
Children's Commission of England. No, they say a quarter of 16 to 21-year-olds first saw pornography on the internet while still at primary school.
Yeah, 100%.
They said by the age of 13, half of the kids in Britain had been exposed to porn. Findings have been linked to low self-esteem among young people and harmful views of sex and relationships. Obviously, those things come about because you've been exposed to porn too young an age.
I had in, before the digital age, before the age of 13, seen porn. I'm sure you had.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't remember.
Something you should remember.
No, I mean, you see, we weren't on the internet. We didn't have the internet.
No,
when we
so were I mean, a magazine or something.
The internet only came about when we were at varsity, really.
Varsity, yeah.
So the only way you would have seen it is like a nude magazine.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure everybody's, you know, older relatives would have had. But I honestly can't say like I found a magazine. And I mean, obviously friends at school would have shown you stuff.
Absolutely.
They would have smuggled into school, but it wasn't like hardcore porn and it was still images. You didn't have like video, you know? So I think there's a big difference between like seeing we were talking about sculpture just now. You could see a naked female form in a lot of sculpture. And in National Geographic magazines, for God's sake, you could see like titties swinging around, but
I remember watching a porn with a guy with an enormous schlong, the longest schlong I'd ever imagined.
Did it traumatize you?
And I was probably about 15 years old.
Sure. Did it traumatize you?
No, the opposite.
Listen to you. You just started coughing and choking.
Well, no.
What's going on?
I was very, very intrigued.
You just went, Leanne.
I didn't mean for that to happen, seriously.
Mash says, so your family never left cassettes lying around? Oh, no, hell no. And, you know, you even if you found like a tape, I mean, there wasn't porn on video lying around. It I think people were just a bit more careful about it. Now it's everywhere, right?
If I went to someone's house during the day, you know, when you just went to someone's house and there were a few of you around, there would undoubtedly be a group of guys laughing around the TV because they'd found a video.
Porn. Yeah, but it wasn't. Please, let's be clear. There's a huge difference between the kind of porn that you might have found lying around in the 90s or 80s and the sort of hardcore stuff that you get on the internet now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let me just read on for you.
Video.
All right, exactly. So here's what they said. of the 18 to 21-year-olds, 79% had seen pornography involving sexual violence when they were children. Almost half of young people say girls expect sex to involve physical aggression, such as strangulation. One 12-year-old told this commissioner her boyfriend had strangled her during their first kiss. He had seen it in porn and thought it was normal.
Oh, gosh.
Yep. So it's not just seeing naked people or, you know, like soft porn, because that was always around, I think. But it's the hardcore nature of it and the fact that you can now find all kinds of really weird porn. We've often spoken about it on the show, you know, the kind of stuff that Pornhub searches spit out every year.
Yeah.
The most popular categories and so on. But I think kids are just being exposed to stuff that they really shouldn't be. It's just, it's very scary. Parallel Parking says the Scope centerfold used to be in high demand at boarding school. Yeah, but again, still image. And as I recall, Scope even had little stars over the nipples. We spoke about this with Aki on Monday. Anyway, I mean, it's a frightening thing. So this is from the UK, but I don't think South Africa is far behind. Children as young as 9 who are exposed to that stuff on a daily basis. Yeah. That is all we got time for in this hour. We'll be back in a moment with a whole lot more.
On that note.
Yes, on that very, very dirty, disgusting note. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.